a sunbeam, Jesus wants me for a sunbeam, a sunbeam, a sunbeam. I'll be a sunbeam for him. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, when he has done so much for me? I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior. The seed of precious life I might have sown. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, when he has done so much for me? I'll be a sunbeam for him.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. And boy, I'm telling you, I've been excited about this day, the day of our the final day of our missions conference, but just the excitement that's been around. I've enjoyed every aspect of our missions conference, not just our missionaries, the International Supper, all the things that went into making this conference special. But I think probably the greatest thing that has thrilled me and excited me was to see the people of God of Trinity Baptist Church excited about what God's doing and what God wants to do, not just through home missions, but through world missions. And it's an exciting day. Take your Bible, if you would, turn to 2 Kings chapter number 7. Now, while you're turning to 2 Kings 7, I'll join you there in just a moment. I'm going to turn over to Luke chapter number 12, and I'm going to read a portion of a verse out of Luke 12 to you this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 7. All right, would you stand with me, please, this morning? Everyone standing? I'll read a portion of Scripture out of Luke 12, and then I'll join you in 2 Kings chapter number 7. In Luke 12, verse number 48, the last portion of verse 48 says this: "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." You know, America has probably been the greatest country in the last several hundred years that God has blessed to propagate the gospel worldwide. And may I say to you today, church, that to whom much is given, much is required. We have the Word of God. Many of us have several Bibles in our possession. There's no greater country on the earth today that I think God holds more responsible for getting the gospel out than America today. Did you find your place in 2 Kings chapter 7? We're going to read several passages here, but we have to read it in order to get the context of the whole story. 2 Kings 7, begin reading with me in verse number 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make the windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four lepers, men, at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another," and I want you to underline this phrase, "why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine," and by the way, there was a famine in the land, and we'll talk about that in a moment, "is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here or still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, hey, we shall but die." In other words, we're going to die anyway. "And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were coming to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they rose and fled into the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. And came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then said one," or they said one to another, I want you to underline this phrase, "we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings." In other words, this is a day of hope. This is a day of comfort for everyone. God has provided. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. We tarry till the morning light. Some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. And he called the porter, and they told it to the king's household within," or house within. "And the king arose in the night and said unto the servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the camp," or when they come out of the city, "we shall catch them alive and get into the city." And one of the servants answered and said, "But let some take, I pray thee, five of the horses that remain, which are left in the city, and behold, they are all, are as all the multitudes of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as the multitude of the Israelites that are consumed, and let us send and see." They took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, and I want you to underline this phrase, "go and see." Go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan, and to lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste, and the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. I'm going to leave off reading in that place, and I had you underline three phrases because those are basically going to be the three points this morning. Three things that were said. These four leprous men said, "Why sit we here until we die?" And then once they found the spoil and they found the garments and the food in the camp of the Syrians, then they realized, wait a minute, if we keep this all for ourselves, we do not well. And then finally, in verse 14, the king said, go and see. Go and see. And I want to take those three passages, those little phrases right there, and here's what I want to preach to you about. Our mission in a nutshell. Our mission in a nutshell. Father, bless the time together this morning. Thank you for the reading of your word. My prayer is, Lord, that you'd move in such a way today. Convict hearts. And Lord, if there's someone here today that needs Christ Jesus, that today would be the day of their salvation. And we'll give you the glory and the praise for the outcome of this service in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. You know, there are a lot of stories and unique stories in the Bible. But I don't think there's any story more unique and, in my opinion, more thrilling than the story of these four lepers who brought the word of hope to a dying city. Now, folks, I don't know if you understand the condition of a leper. But a condition of a leper, they were rejected people. They were people that no one wanted to be around. They were the people that probably had a little bit of an inferiority complex. Because nobody wanted to be around them. Nobody thought they could do anything. And yet they sat at the gate of this city all day, every day. Very few people talked to them. Very few people thought that there was anything that they could ever do for anybody. And they sat there day after day after day. Well, a famine had come across the entire province of Samaria. King Ben-Hadad, the king of the Syrian army, had pretty much besieged that area and was basically holding Samaria captive. He was on if you go read about his story, Ben-Hadad and most of the kings that were evil men were kind of control freaks. They wanted to own everything and have everything. And he wanted Samaria. He began to starve the people out, and they were beginning to starve. And if you'll go back and read the story, you'll find out they were eating anything and everything, including their own children, because that's how bad it was. It was a famine in the land. You see, Ben-Hadad had no mercy, nor was he concerned about the welfare or the future of the people of Samaria. Listen, he could care less about their families, their children, their careers, their life. Hey, he's just going to do what he wanted and get what he wanted, and it didn't matter what it cost to get it. Now, can I say something to you today, church? May I say to you that Satan has blinded the eyes of much of the world today, and they cannot see the truth? Can I tell you that he cares nothing about their families? He cares nothing about their careers. He cares nothing about their life. Listen, as far as he's concerned, it's not going to bother him if the entire world died and went to hell. Why? He doesn't care whether somebody's in poverty, where they die and go to hell for eternity. Hey, the sufferings and heartaches of people, they feed his evil heart and his destructive plan. You see, Satan's going to do what he can and use whatever means is available to him to destroy the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Hey, this city, the people of this city, they were dying. They were starving. Yet here's four little old leprous men sitting at the gate that probably most people thought, they'll never amount to a hill of beans. You know, that's kind of probably what some people thought about me one day. He'll never amount to a hill of beans. You see, most of the missionaries that are here this morning, I would imagine probably some of them could probably give a testimony that there was probably somebody that when you surrender to preach or you surrender to go to the mission field, they'll say, you'll never amount to a hill of beans. You'll never be able to do what you're called to do. Don't you understand? It's an ugly world out there. You see, these four leprous men probably heard that day after day after day. But I want you to notice, if you would, in verse number 3, as they were all sitting there one day, and I'm sure they were talking sports. I'm sure they were talking about their careers. I'm sure they were talking about their future. Can I say something to you? I doubt very seriously that's what they were talking about, because nobody gave them any hope to ever become anything. Ever. So they were sitting at the gate one day, and one of them just popped off. Just, you know how you just pop off and say something. And one of them just popped off and said, "Why sit we here until we die?" Listen, he said, "Guys, what do we have to lose? We're going to die anyway. So what do we have to lose? Let's just kind of go out on a limb here and let's go into this camp of the Syrians and hey, you know what? If they kill us, we're going to die anyway. But if they take us alive, you know what? They might even feed us. They might give us something. You know what? We'll be better off than them heathen. Back in them town, hell, bless God, they'd come by here and laugh at me last time. I'll be eating with them while they're starving to death. They said, hey, what do we got to lose? Oh, by the way, can I say something to you, church? What do you have to lose by following Christ? What do you have to lose by giving your life to God? Hey, I'm here to tell you, those four leprous men decided, hey, why sit we here until we die? May I say to you that Jesus did not go to the expense of the cross to save us so that we could sit and do nothing about the lost multitudes of people all over the world? Hey, you're sitting here this morning and say, well, God doesn't want to use me. I don't have anything to offer to God. Let me ask you, you think these leprous men had anything to offer anybody? No, they didn't have anything. Matter of fact, people laughed at them. They were the laughing stock. People made fun of them. Sure, nobody thought they could do anything either. But they thought, why sit here till we die? You know what? Nobody wants to spend time with us. We'll just go spend time with somebody. So here's what they did. There was a famine in the land. And they just decided, you know what? What do I have to lose? Look, things ain't going right as they are right now. Oh, by the way, have I mentioned this week that those of us that want to do our will instead of God's will, can I ask you, how's it going for you? How's it working out for you? When God's told you or commanded you or called you to do something and you decide, nah, I don't think I'm going to do that. How's it working out? You see, they didn't have anything to lose. They had everything to gain. They said, hey, we're going to die anyway. Unless we figured out, folks, can I say, you're going to die anyway? How do you want to die? Do you want to die having a life that counts for God? Or do you want to have a life to face God where you didn't count for God? Do you want to do something for God, church, this morning? Do you want to do something about the things of God and try to reach people for the cause of Christ? Hey, why sit here till we die and mount to nothing? What do we have to lose? Somebody's going to need to be called out today. Somebody's going to need to on board and start giving today. I'm just saying, why don't we sit here till we die? You know, I've done a lot of funerals. I don't know how many I've done in 27 years of ministry, but I'm going to guess over 100. And can I say something to you? They ain't a single one of them ever took anything with them. Nothing. Didn't take anything with them. It was all left behind. And you know, I've attended a lot of funerals, and I've heard them say, man, this person was really wealthy. They owned this and owned that. And my question is, okay, where is it now? They don't have it now. They're dead, just like you and I are going to die. And when we face God, I wonder if some of us are going to hear the Lord say, why did you sit there till you died? Why did you sit there and do nothing? Well, Lord, I was leprous. Don't you understand? I didn't have much to offer you. That's probably the way these leprous men thought. Why sit here, one said, till we die? There was a famine in the land, just like there's a famine today, dear folks. Listen to me. First of all, can I say to you, there's a famine of truth today. There's a famine of truth today. Do you know that most of the world, if they have heard of salvation, most of the world are trying to be told that salvation is something totally different than by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. They're being told something totally different. Hell is going to be filled with millions of people that are going to die and go to hell and don't understand why they went there, because they did everything their church told them to do. They did everything this person told them to do. They did everything this religious individual told them to do. They died and went to hell and don't know why they're there. Let me tell you something, folks. There's going to be a lot of people in America that are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. And that's the distance between your noggin and your heart. You see, there's a lot of people in America that know about God. They just don't know God. They know about Jesus. They just don't know Jesus. Why? Because there's a famine of truth in the streets today. Isaiah said that we're not to let truth die in the streets. We're not to let it go to naught. We have it in our hands today. Hey, the truth about salvation. There's a famine about the truth of salvation, of grace through faith in Christ. May I say to you, there's a famine of truth about heaven and hell also. I said there's a famine about heaven and hell. Nobody wants, but listen, well, we're real quick to talk about heaven, but well, we don't talk about hell, that might offend somebody. Well, how offended do you think they're going to be when they go there? When they die and go to hell, you think they're going to think that you were their friend and you never told them about it? No, they're not going to think that you were their buddy when they die and go to hell. They're going to think, what did my friend tell me? What did my family tell me? There's a famine of truth about heaven and hell today. Listen, can I say something to you folks? Heaven is a wonderful place. But I'm here to tell you that hell is a terrible place. It's a terrible place. Why sit we here till we die? The world's dying and going to hell. There's a famine of the truth about salvation, the truth about heaven and hell. Hey, there's a famine of truth about God's plan and purpose for us. You say, where am I going to find the plan of God for my life? Right there in that book. Yeah, you're going to find it right there in that book. You know, you're not going to find whatever the perfect will of God is for your life until you get in the Word of God. And the Word of God is alive. It will literally jump off of those pages into your heart. Why sit we here, church, till we die? There's a famine of truth. May I say, there's a famine of time as well. There's a famine of time. You know what one of our problems? We get caught up in the rat race. We get caught up in the rat race of society. But listen to me, we also get caught up in the rat race of church. We get so busy about doing this and that and this and in working for the church, we forget about why we're here. We forget about that we're here because of souls. We forget about that we're trying to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we've got no time to give back to God. We've got no time to speak up for God. We've got no time to promote the will of God. Why? We're too busy, preacher. Too busy. Don't you know I got to go run my bus? I ain't got time to witness to anybody. Hey, preacher, I got to go teach my Sunday school class. I ain't got time to take time out to show somebody how to be saved. Don't you understand? Look what time it is. We got to get. We get caught up in the rat race of church, just like we get caught up in the rat race of life. Some time ago, there was a young executive driving down the streets of Chicago. He had just received a promotion, and so he went out and bought him a brand new Jaguar. Now, I don't know what this is, but it's a Jaguar XKE, so it must be really nice. And he'd had it for just a short time, and you know how we get our new car, we're real careful about it, you know. We don't want anybody to spit on it, or we don't even want a speck of dust on it. So he just bought this new Jag, and he was going down through the streets of Chicago, and he's going down through a neighborhood here, and the cars were, it was kind of tight, and kids were running back and forth across the road, and so he started slowing down as he started making his way through the neighborhood. And he saw a kid, so jut out here, and he thought, man, a lot of these kids are running everywhere. I've got to slow down. Well, he went about another block or so, and he didn't see any kids, so he started speeding up, and he saw a little boy step out, so he started slowing down. And he noticed the kid wasn't going to run out in front of him, but about the time he got dead even with the kid picked up a rock and hit the side of his Jag. He put on brakes. He slammed it up into park. He got out, ran over there and grabbed that kid, threw that kid up against him. Don't you know what you just did? Why did you hit my car? Kid began to cry. Tears running down his face. He said, Mister, he said, my brother fell out of his wheelchair and he's around the corner. Said, nobody, I asked and nobody would stop. He said, I didn't know what else to do. So when I saw you, I figured the only way I could get you to stop was to throw a rock at your car. That executive let that little boy go. He said, I'm sorry. He said, where's your brother? He said, he's around the corner. That executive went around the corner there, and here was a little old boy that had tried to go off the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and he was laying. He was all skin up, bloody elbows, chin was all bloodied up. That million-dollar young executive reached in his pocket, took out his handkerchief, and knelt down by the little boy and began to wipe the blood off his chin and off his hands. Picked him up, put him back in the wheelchair. He said, son, I'm sorry. That boy said, thank you, mister. And he got his brother and put him, as he put him in that wheelchair, and that million-dollar executive watched him as he began to push his little brother back down the sidewalk. And the little boy turned around and waved to him. That executive went over there and looked at his jag. Big old ding right in the side of the door where that kid busted it with a rock. And as he got back in his car and he began to think, you know what? If I'm too busy to stop and help somebody, I'm too busy. Can I say something to you this morning? Is it going to take God to have to throw a rock at your life to get your attention that there are people that need help? Amen. You see, that executive never got that door fixed. He said, I want this to constantly remind me that if I'm ever too busy to stop and help somebody, I'm too busy. Now, I'm here to tell you there's a famine of time today. There's a famine of truth. May I say to you, there's a famine of trust as well. Hey, do you know what? We're to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. We're to trust also in Him. We're to give up everything and trust Him. Why? He knows best. He's never going to do anything wrong to you. There's a famine of trust. Hey, we're afraid to trust God with our life. Isn't it crazy? We'll trust Him with our soul, but we won't trust Him with our life. Hey, we'll come and accept salvation and trust Him with our soul, but we won't trust Him with our life. That God's going to save me and then just throw me to the lions? Nah, He's not going to do that. There's a famine of trust that God, what God will do with our life, trusting God with our life. Hey, there is a famine of trust, listen to me now, of trusting God with our finances. Because some of you, when I was in my early Christian life, and again, when I was a babe in Christ, I just did what the preacher said. He said, pray and ask God what God would have you give to world missions. So I just thought, okay, I will. So I prayed and God would tell me, and I think, hang on just a minute. You know how we do on those little, one of those little things are that the kids do with the knobs, and they draw something, you just take and go. And start over? That's what I do. God said, this is how much I want to give. And I'd go, no, Lord, it can't be it. And you start over. And you do that two or three or four times. But you know what? God, where God tells you and God moves in your heart, He's going to provide. Hey, there's a famine of trust is what I'm saying. People will not trust God with their finances. They won't trust Him with their family. Listen to me. There are young people that have been called of God that mamas and dads have discouraged from going into the ministry because, oh, you don't want to go through what Brother Laster's going through. You don't want to go through what these missionaries go through. Boy, you don't want to do that because if you go to the ministry, the devil's going to get on your case. Well, can I say to you, if you don't go, God's going to get on your case. Now, the thing about it is I've got the protection of God. When Satan gets on my case, the scripture says all I've got to do is resist the devil and he will flee from me. But you get God on your case, what's going to happen now? Who are you going to have to get God off your case? Hey, I'm just saying, I'd rather be right smack in the will of God and have to tangle with the devil than be out of the will of God and tangling with God. Now, I'm just saying to you, those four lepers, they said, what are we doing sitting here till we die? Hey, guys, let's go do something. I'm sure there was probably a skeptic in there saying, I think I'm just going to sit here and let my nose rot off, my ears rot off. I don't think I'm going to do anything. I'm too tired. And I'm sure there's one that says, nah, I ain't going. I'm too busy. Huh? Busy what? Doing what? You're sitting at the gate all day. You ain't doing nothing. Why sit we here, church, until we die? Hey, we're going to die. Let's die with our life counting for something. Now, let me tell you what happened. They went into the Syrian camp. Now, the thing about it is, this is the way I picture them going. I don't think they marched in there like they were somebody. I think as they got closer, I'm sure, you know, there was probably a cleric individual in there, and he took charge right away. He probably said, hey, psh, you take the left. Hey, you take the right. Hey, you take the middle. And I'm sure someone said, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to sit here and watch while y'all go in. There's always one like that, right? We're going to send everybody else in. There's always one that's got that Jacob mentality. Y'all going up, ladies, front. Y'all get everybody get the front. I'll get the back just in case. So they sneak up to the camp. I think they probably popped up from bush to bush looking, trying to find out, man, what's going on? Are you hearing? I don't hear nothing, man. You know, 2 nights ago when I was down here picking berries and stuff, I heard rock music going on. I don't hear nothing now. Man, I heard them down there, and I heard them cussing like sailors. I don't hear nothing now. They popped up from bush to bush looking around. And can I tell you something, church? The reason they wasn't here anyway, because there wasn't nobody there. Everything the Bible says was as it was. It's like they just all decided to get up and leave. You say, well, who made them do that? God did. Why? Because he had a starving city and 4 lepers he wanted to teach a lesson to. Now listen to what they did. They went there, they went into the camp, and they thought, glory to God. Look at all this stuff. And they began to go from tent to tent. They began to eat and stuff themselves, missionaries, kind of like we did this week. They just began to go in and stuff themselves, and then they'd find some precious stones and some gold and silver, and they'd get it, and the Bible says they'd go out and hide it. Kind of like some of us are hiding some things. So they went out and hid it. And then one of them thought, hey guys, we do not well. And I'm sure one of them said, what do you mean, do not well? No. No, I got family back in the city. I got friends back in the city. They're starving to death. What are you talking about, man? Don't you know they didn't care about us? Don't you know they talked ugly about us? Don't you know they could care less about us? They made fun of us. I ain't taking nothing back to them. They're getting what they deserve. Hang on just a minute now. If you and I got what we deserved, you'd be in hell. Here are these 4 lepers. They had everything at their fingertips. Everything. And one of them said, guys, we do not well. And so what they decided to do is to go back and report to the city that, you know what, they'd hit the jackpot. Hey, they had hit, listen, these people, they weren't concerned about the lottery. You know what they was concerned about? Something to eat. You know who God used to find the bread, the food? He used 4 lepers. People who thought nobody could use them. People who thought that they were worthless. And they said, oh, we found it, but we do not well. Let me throw a couple things out here to think about. First of all, church, we do not well, Christian, we do not well to not help those who need help. I said we do not well to not help those who need help. Do you know most of the world don't have things at their fingertips like we do? Hey, church, wake up. Have you been watching the DVDs like I have? Have you been seeing the things? Not one time. It might have slipped past me, but not one time did I see a Walmart in the background. But I did see a McDonald's. But I didn't see a Walmart. You know, most of the world don't have things at ease like you do and like I do. And I'm here to tell you, church, you know what? We do not well. We do not well. Why? Because there are people that need help, and we do not well not to help those who need help. Can I say to you, regardless of their attitude towards you, you think that the folks in Samaria went out and petted these lepers on the head every day and said, oh, bless your heart. Now, you know what most of them probably did? Stood on the top of the wall, kids after school, and spit in their head. You know how we used to do, kids, when you all that, you just and pop somebody in the top of the head that's walking by? Now, I know none of you girls ever did that, but nasty, filthy boys do that. You say, man, I'm going to be watching that balcony. You better, because I've seen some of them up there. I wasn't going to say anything. I thought, Lord God. Amen, Brother Weaver, the providential will of God. Hey, I'm saying, there wasn't people saying, you know what? If you'll work hard and you'll pray hard, you might be voted most likely to succeed. No, they were lepers. Most of the people in that city treated them like dirt. You know what? They could have said, you know what? Them people don't love us. People don't care about us. Bless God, you know what? I'm taking all this for myself. I'm taking all this, and you know what? I'm going to build me a mansion. I'm going to build this. I'm going to build that. You know what? I might die a leper, but I'm going to die a happy leper. And all them people back there that don't give a flip about me, they can die and go to hell. They could have taken that attitude. But one of them said, guys, we do not well. Those people need help regardless of their attitude. They need help regardless of their beliefs. They need help regardless of the effort that it's going to take to reach them. I don't know how far out of town the camp was, but I'm sure it wasn't from here to the back wall. So you know what it was going to take? They were going to have to walk all the way back to the city and report and then probably walk all the way back. It was going to take some effort. Yeah, church, it's going to take some effort to reach people around the world. May I ask you, since when has the criteria been to help someone or preach the gospel to people based on whether they've done something for us or deserve it? Hey, those people, if anybody probably deserved to die of starvation, the people in Samaria probably did, but we do not well. We do not well. Hey, we do not well to not help those who need help. We do not well to decide, listen to me now, who gets the help and who doesn't. We don't get to decide who we're going to help and who we're not going to help. I wonder if God had that attitude, how many of us in this room would even be saved? I wonder how many people in this room would even be saved today if God said, you know what, I think I'm going to determine who I'm going to save and who I'm not going to save. But he didn't. You know why I know that? Because he said, for whosoever will. For whosoever will. You see, we can't decide who's going to get help and who's not. You see, all the world needs the gospel. Jesus didn't provide selective salvation. Now, you know what? The only thing Jesus selected was the way and the plan. He didn't select who's going to hell and who's going to heaven. Hey, we do not well not to help those who need help. And then we do not well if we decide who's going to get the help and who's not going to get the help. But may I say to you, church, we do not well to enjoy the blessings of God and not share it with others. You know, these lepers could have said, you know what? I'm taking it. I'm hoarding everything. I'm not going to take any of this and give that. Don't you know that so-and-so, that kid spit in my head yesterday. I'm not going to take any of this back to him. Some of them, maybe their own family, kicked them out of the house. Said, you're worthless. You trash! Get out! But you know what? They could have said, you know what? My own family kicked me out. And it'd be a cold day where the booger man lives if I go and take them back something to eat. I'm eating it all myself. They could have had that attitude. But listen to me. They didn't, because they did not well. And may I say to you folks, I want you to remind yourself while you're sitting at the table today at lunch and everything's right there, that there are boys and girls all over the world that hadn't eaten in days and days and days. I'm just telling you, church, we do not well to enjoy the blessings of God and not share it. People need to be delivered. You see, your monies and my monies to world missions is going to reach people. And if we don't do something, listen to me, church, we do not well. And may I say, why sit we here till we die? Why sit we here till we die? We do not well. Then let me give you the last thing. Look at the last phrase quickly. The king then, when the word came back, that all of the camp of the Syrians, they're gone and stuff is out there by the droves. All the food we can eat, all the animals, the horses, the cows, the sheep that we want, all the money that we want, it's all out there. All we got to do is go get it. Now let me stop and say this. When the word came back, did you notice the response of what the king said? Oh, that can't be true. He said, don't you understand? They just left the camp so that we would come out, so that when we got out, then they'd come out of the mountains and get us so they'd get into the city. He said, it's a trick. Now, we got people that have been called of God, and some person out of the will of God has told them they can't do it. Or they may have told them, no, don't you understand? It's a trick. I don't think you're discerning the will of God. You know how many times I've heard people tell me that? That someone told me, you don't understand. You need to know the voice of God. Well, if you're a saved person, you ought to know the voice of God. And the king said, no, they're just trying to draw us out so they can get into the city. But one sensible servant said, well, listen, why don't we just send some people out and go check it out? And we'll just find out what's out there. So they did. So they sent some people out, and look at verse number 14. They took therefore two chariots of horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. Look at the last part of verse 13. And let us send and see. Did you know there had to be somebody to send and somebody to go? The king sent them, prepared them, sent them, but somebody's going to have to be willing to go, right? And may I say to you that some of them were going specifically, the people that went out to check on the camp of the Syrians went specifically on the word of four lepers. Now, I'm just telling you, four lepers come back. Hey, you're not going to believe this. Yeah, crying wolf again. Yeah, man, you did that 2 or 3 days ago when you cried. Want me to drop a piece of bread over the wall? I wasn't going to do it. Oh, no, listen. It's real this time. You've got to come see. Yeah, right. Whatever. I'm sure that was probably the attitude of some. But they went out, listen to me, on the word of four misfits. Four people that nobody thought could be used for anything. Now, folks, let me say something to you. You've got a greater word than four lepers. You've got the word of God that says, listen, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so there, these people went. And may I say to you that there had to be somebody that sent them and somebody to go. There are always going to be those who are going to be negative about going and seeing what God is doing and what God has done. As I mentioned, number one, some had to be senders. Somebody's going to have to finance it, right? Hey, if God's not going to call everybody, if God called everybody, there wouldn't be anybody to support them, right? So there had to be, number one, there had to be a sender. Number two, some are going to have to go. There's going to have to be senders, and there's going to have to be goers. There's some that are going to have to surrender to go. Listen, the folks that went out to the camp of the Syrians, you know what they had to overcome? Their fear. And may I say to you, there might be some here today, the reason you won't surrender to the mission field or you won't surrender to whatever God wants to do is because you're afraid. You're afraid. At some point, you're just going to have to accept the fact, you know what? God told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. They had to overcome fear. They had to overcome negative input and on and on and on. But here's the last thing I want you to get quickly this morning. Some had to be senders. Some had to be goers. And may I say to you, number three, all will be lookers. All will be lookers. Hey, you know what the thing about is both the sender and the goer? Look at what God can do with anyone who's willing to serve Him. Hey, look what happened to four lepers. How do you think they're treated now when they actually got out there and saw, these guys told us, I can't believe it. Can you see these lepers? Hey, I imagine they weren't real concerned about giving a little high five, a little nudge to those four lepers. I'm sure they said, hey guys, come here. You know why? Because they saved their life. They pointed them to hope. Misfits. People that thought nobody could use them. I could see those guys going, yeah, guys, can you believe it? Here was, nobody loved us yesterday, but everybody loves us today. Why? Because they brought them hope. And they brought them truth. Hey, all's going to be lookers. We get to look. Hey, the thing about it is, all of these missionaries, we invest in their ministries and they show the DVD and, hey, listen, weren't we all lookers this week? You know what we were looking at? The blessings of God. Brother Leslie, I wonder if there's a 15-year-old boy in heaven today going, glory to God. Somebody sent them. Churches sent them, and there's a 15-year-old gypsy boy in heaven today because of it. Hey, there's got to be senders, there's got to be goers, but we're all going to be lookers. We get to look at what God's will or look at what God will do when the truth is revealed to a lost and dying people. Did you hear that missionary say he was the only missionary, independent Baptist missionary, in the country of Croatia? Now look at all the churches that are started. Look at all the people that's been saved. Look at the translation of the King James Bible in the Croatian language in the New Testament. You think when he got off the plane, he thought, man, Lord, I can't wait to translate the Bible. I can't wait to have these two churches started. None of that ever crossed his mind. You know what Brother Leslie feels like? You know what Brother Weaver feels like? You know what Brother Nielsen feels like? You know what Brother Tharp feels like and Brother Jordan feel like? They feel like lepers. God, how are you going to use me? I don't worry about what them people say. Because you know what? You're going to take the message of hope to Scotland, to Canada, to the Dominican, to Ireland, to Croatia. You've got the goods. And God supplied it. And then we're all lookers. We get to look at how God opens the doors for those who send and those who go. I've never regretted one second ever giving to world missions. Not one time. I have seen God open door after door after door in my life because I've been faithful to give so some could go. Folks, there you have it. Our mission in a nutshell. Why sit we here till we die? Don't you want your life to count? Hey, God's giving you the truth. And if we don't take it to a lost and dying world, can I say, we do not well. We do not well. You say, what are we going to do about it, preacher? Bless God, I want to do something about it. Somebody's going to have to go. Some of us, we know God wants us to be senders. But there's somebody in this congregation that's going to need to be a goer. And then once it's all said and done, guess what we all get to do? We all get to be lookers. And we'll see your DVD one day. When you come back and say, glory to God, I can't believe it. God is good. Yeah, He is. But that's our mission, church, in a nutshell. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? How many can say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, heaven is my home. Slip your hand way up high and say, I know I've already been born again. I've already accepted Christ as my Savior. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I'm just going to ask you to move in such a way today that you would have the presence of the Spirit of God would be moving up and down every aisle today. And Lord, if there is someone here that does not know Jesus, that today would be that day. Lord, they've heard the truth. And the truth is that Jesus saves. And it doesn't matter what they've done in life. Here are four lepers that you use, Lord, in a miraculous way to save an entire city. Would you move today and save souls? Then with heads bowed, eyes closed, you're seated this morning, and you'd say, preacher, I got to be honest with you. I cannot honestly say that if I died right where I am, that heaven is my home. I've thought about it. It's gone through my mind many times, but I cannot honestly say that if I died today, I'm going to heaven. I need prayer. And you'd let me pray for you. No one's looking around but me. Would you let me know who you are by simply slipping your hand up? Just slip it up. Say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that if I died today, that I'd go to heaven. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? God bless you. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Anywhere else? Anywhere else? Join this one. Anybody? Just slip it up and say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that I'm saved, that I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. Anybody else? If you're here this morning and you say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. Just never followed through with it. And you say, would you pray with me? Pray with me about that. I want you to slip your hand up. Say, preacher, that's me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. God bless you. There's two. You can put your hand down. Just slip it up. Say, preacher, I've already been saved, never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Would you pray for me? Anybody else like that? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, one last thing. I've asked you, church, throughout the week to keep your spirit open. God has already told me there's a couple. There's a family. He didn't tell me who. He just told me there's a family in our church. He's already dealt with. And you know who you are. He wants to separate into the ministry. Maybe it is missions. Whatever it may be. If you're here this morning, say, preacher, I've opened my spirit up. I think God may be calling me. God may be calling our family. No one looking around. I don't want you to slip it up just out of your emotional decision. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're the one. And if you are, I want you to slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. I've kept my spirit open. I've kept it open. And it may, I believe it might be me. I believe it might be us." Anybody? All right, I'm going to give God another time, an opportunity to work this afternoon. I'm going to ask you the same thing again tonight. Now, one last thing. How many of you said, "Preacher, I've kept my spirit open all week long. God has spoken to me about world missions." He may not necessarily, preacher, be calling me, but He has spoken to me. He's given me a burden for world missions. And you'd say, "Preacher, I'm going to pray for our missionaries more fervently. I'm going to love on them more fervently. And I'm going to do everything I can to support them more fervently." How many of you'd say, "Preacher, I'm going to join you in that effort. God's opened my heart and spirit about missions." Just want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, "That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me." God bless you. God bless you. Now, Father, I ask you, please, show your goodness now in this invitation time and make Jesus Christ get the glory for it all. For we ask it now this morning in His name. Amen. And you can be seated, or you can be stand with me, if you would, please. As you stand, Brother Shaddix, would you begin to sing? If you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know the Lord. I don't know Christ. Would you come? Would you come?" We have people that will be glad to show you how to be saved. Some of you raised your hand and say, "Preacher, I've already been saved but never been baptized. Would you come? Come on. Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity to do something for God. Come right ahead. Come right ahead. Whatever it may be, you come right ahead. If you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, God, I've kept my spirit open. I want to do something for God." You come. You come. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? If you raise your hand, come ahead. Come ahead. Come ahead. Say, "Preacher, I need to be saved." Or, "Preacher, I need to be baptized." Come ahead. Come on. Come on. You know who you are. Sing it through again, Brother Shaddix.
He drew